So, welcome back to the deep dive. I want to start today with a quote from Elon Musk from his Q1 2026 earnings call, because I feel like it completely reframes how we think about the current state of robotics.
Yeah, it was definitely a reality check for the whole industry.
Right. So, it's mid-2026. Everyone is talking about the imminent explosion of cheap humanoid robots. But Musk was talking about the production of the Optimus robot, which has roughly, what, 10,000 parts inside it?
About 10,000.
And he just flat out admitted that the entire production line is constrained by what he called the most unlucky, slowest, and dumbest part.
Which is such a wild way to describe a supply chain bottleneck.
Exactly. And the craziest part is this dumb part he's talking about is basically just a finger-sized steel rod.
It really is. And, that is the ultimate mission for us today, right? To look at the gritty physical reality holding these robots back. We see all these flashy headlines about AI brains and neural networks.
Spatial computing, all of that.
Right, all the software stuff. But to truly understand the robot revolution for you, the listener, you have to understand the invisible physical bottlenecks.
Yeah, because we are looking at this huge stack of supply chain analysis and market reports today, focusing on two very specific, hyper-complex components, the planetary roller screw and the RV reducer.
These two parts are quite literally the Achilles heel of the global robotics supply chain.
And specifically, we're going to examine why China's massive manufacturing engine is struggling so much to conquer them. I mean, they've localized drones, EVs, solar panels, but these parts are a totally different beast.
They really are. So, to understand why there's such a bottleneck, we have to talk about movement.
Okay, let's unpack this because a robot moving seems pretty basic, right?
Well, it isn't, it isn't. Think about legacy industrial robots, the big mechanical arms welding cars in a factory. They mostly just spin in circles. They rely on rotary joints.
Right, they're bolted to the floor just swinging around.
Exactly. But humanoids have to bend their knees, support their entire weight on one leg, climb stairs. That requires pushing and pulling, linear motion.
Which is tricky because electric motors only generate rotational force, they just spin.
Right. So you need a converter to turn that spin into linear force. And that brings us to the planetary roller screw.
Okay, so how does it actually work?
So it gets its name because it has multiple threaded rollers that orbit a central threaded shaft, kind of like planets orbiting a sun.
Oh, okay, makes sense. But wait, haven't CNC machines used ball screws for decades? Why can't they just use those?
That's a great question. Ball screws use recirculating steel balls, which means they have a single point of contact. That's fine for light loads. But humanoids carry heavy batteries and take massive impact forces with every step.
So the ball screws just break.
They wear out way too fast. The planetary design, because it uses threaded rollers instead of balls, creates a continuous line of contact. So, compared to a standard ball screw, it handles 3 times the static load and lasts 15 times longer.
Wow, 15 times.
Yeah, it's completely non-negotiable for high-impact joints like the pelvis, the knee, and the ankle.
But doing the math here, and I really want to point this out for you listening, there's a shocking cost to this. There are 14 of these planetary roller screws in a single Optimus.
14. It's a lot of hardware.
Yeah, two in the upper arms, four in the forearms, four in the thighs, and four in the calves. And the estimates put them between $1,350 to $2,700 each.
Which is just punishing for the unit economics.
Right. I mean, 14 little rods are eating up roughly 19% of the total hardware cost. That's 56% of the actuator bill of materials alone. It's super ironic because Musk wants to sell this thing for under $20,000.
But a fifth of your budget is gone before you even buy the battery or the AI chips.
Exactly.
No.
So that brings us to the obvious question, right? If these parts are so expensive, why hasn't China's famous manufacturing sector just mass-produced them to drive down the costs?
And if you read the headlines, you'd think they already have. You constantly see these reports boasting about a 70% localization rate for Chinese humanoids.
Right. I've seen that 70% number thrown around everywhere.
But it's a total myth of averages.
Yeah.
Yes, China has localized over 90% of 6-axis force sensors, and they're at about 75% for harmonic reducers. But for planetary roller screws,
Let me guess, it's way lower.
it plummets to a dismal 20 to 30%.
Yeah.
The global market is basically monopolized by a few Swiss, Swedish, American, and Japanese companies. I mean, Tesla itself buys from GSA in Switzerland.
Wait a minute, though. I mean, China is the number one steel producer in the world. Why can't they just make a steel screw?
Because it's not just a standard piece of steel. There are two massive hurdles here. The first is material science.
Okay.
The extreme friction of those rollers requires a highly specialized alloy steel. And China's special steel smelting and heat treatment processes just currently lag behind Europe and Japan.
Oh, so the recipe for the metal itself is holding them back.
Exactly. But the second hurdle is even bigger. It's geopolitics and precision. To cut these threads, you have to hit Japanese Industrial Standard, or JIS, precision grades. Humanoids need a C5 or C3 grade.
And Tesla uses C3, right?
Yes. And C3 caps errors at 3 micrometers per 300 millimeters.
Wait, 3 micrometers? That's microscopic.
It's insane precision. And to cut nanometer-level threads like that, you need ultra-precision grinding machines.
Which I'm guessing China doesn't make themselves.
No, they import over 95% of these machines from Europe and Japan. But because the U.S. and its allies heavily restrict the export of these advanced machine tools, China's supply chain is effectively choked at the source.
You literally just can't buy the machines to make the part.
Right.
But here's where it gets really interesting in the source material. Because blocked by these export controls and material deficits, how is China responding? They're just throwing massive amounts of money at the problem.
Oh, absolutely. The capital injection is staggering.
Like, Hangzhou Shenzhen is building a base to churn out 1 million humanoid-specific screws a year. 1 million. And they're partnering with major players, Agibot, Xiaomi, XPeng, Ecovax.
They are trying to brute force a solution through pure scale.
Yeah, and the strategy from Shuanglin is even wilder. So the other auto parts company, and to dodge the European patents, they developed a reverse planetary roller screw.
Which is a clever mechanical workaround.
Right, but they set up a pilot line for 12,000 sets and then realized they lacked the restricted machines to actually grind them. So what do? They literally just bought a high-end grinding machine company called Wuxi Kazixin outright.
They couldn't buy the bottlenecks, so they bought the company that makes the bottleneck.
It's such a massive gamble, because the ultimate goal here is to drop the price from 12,000 RMB per screw down to just 635 RMB.
Well, let's temper that with some realism, right?
Yeah.
Because independent analysts expect it to actually settle somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 RMB.
Oh, okay. So the 600 is a bit optimistic.
Very optimistic. But the takeaway is still super clear. Wow. If they pull this off, even at 2,000 RMB, the weakest link becomes their greatest pricing weapon.
Yeah, that completely changes the unit economics.
It does. But getting the legs to push and pull is only half the battle.
Right, because what about the rotational force needed for heavy lifting, like twisting at the waist?
Exactly. Well, and that requires our second component, the reducer.
Yeah, think of a reducer like a transmission in a car, right? It takes a really fast motor and slows it down to create immense torque.
That's a perfect analogy. But there's a tale of two gears here. For the light, fast movements, like wrists and fingers, robots use harmonic reducers.
And this is the one China's actually doing really well in, right?
Yes. They've already won this battle. Companies like Green Harmonic captured 75% of the domestic market. They produce these at a fraction of Japanese prices, with massive lifespans.
So that's the success story, but what about the heavy lifting?
That requires RV reducers, or rotary vector reducers. Harmonic reducers rely on flexible parts, which would just shatter if a robot jumped and landed on its knees. RV reducers are marvels of mechanical engineering that absorb instant shocks across a two-stage gear system.
All while maintaining micrometer precision, right?
Exactly. But here, Japan's Nabtesco is the absolute king. They hold over 60% of the global market. And China is stuck right back at that 20 to 30% localization rate.
Okay, but looking at the reports, there's this challenger, Shuanghuan's subsidiary Huangxian Tech. And they rocketed from 5.25% market share in 2020 to almost 25% in 2024. So they are catching up, right?
What's fascinating here is the illusion of progress. It looks great on a spreadsheet, but you have to understand the concepts of precision retention and backlash.
Okay, lay that out for us.
So out of the factory, a Chinese RV reducer matches a Japanese one perfectly. Day one, it's flawless. But you put it in a factory, make it hold a 20-kilogram weight, and run it for thousands of hours.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah, the Chinese gear begins to wobble and wear down dramatically faster than the Japanese one. That wobble is called backlash.
But wait, I don't get it. With modern 3D scanning, can't they just take apart the Japanese gear, scan it down to the nanometer, and just copy it perfectly?
You would think so.
Yeah.
But copying the shape isn't enough. It all comes down to the secret sauce metallurgy and time. It's called tacit knowledge.
Tacit knowledge, like unwritten rules.
Basically. It's 70 years of hands-on knowledge in heat treatment. Japanese manufacturers know exactly how to bake this steel, so the outside is incredibly hard to resist scratching.
Right.
But the inside remains tough and chewy to absorb the physical shock.
A chewy center for a steel gear.
Yeah. It's a metallurgical contradiction, and you cannot find that on a blueprint. It's hands-on knowledge built over decades of trial and error.
Wow. So you can't just fast-track that with money.
No, you can't. And to make matters worse, there is no unified standard for humanoid RV reducers yet. Well, companies have to do small, custom batches for every different robot maker. Agibot wants one spec, UbiTech wants another.
So they can't just spin up a massive assembly line and crank out a million identical parts.
Exactly. Which prevents the mass production scale needed to drive down costs and test that tacit knowledge.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? I mean, the 2030 goal of China's 15th five-year plan is to fully localize these parts.
That's the stated goal, yes.
But the reality on the ground is that the dream of a durable, hyper-cheap humanoid robot is currently trapped. It's trapped by the fundamental laws of physics, by 70 years of Japanese metallurgical secrets, and by strict export controls on grinding machines.
It really is. And I leave you with this final thought to mull over. We live in an age where AI can write code, generate art, and simulate molecular biology in seconds.
Yeah, everything feels instantaneous now.
But if the ultimate barrier to building these AI-driven robots is tacit knowledge, that slow physical intuition of how to bake steel and grind gears developed over 70 years of human trial and error, will AI ever be able to simulate and instantly solve the messy, chaotic laws of physical friction? Or will the digital revolution forever be forced to wait on the speed of physical craftsmanship?
That is such a wild thought to end on. The software is living in 2026, but the hardware is still fighting a war measured in micrometers and decades of metalworking.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the headlines, and we'll see you next time.